gentlemen. Get ready for
Rich Eisen.
Voice of God. Huh? Voice of God.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I still can't believe Aaron Rodgers is a New York Jet.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Which is really weird for me because most quarterbacks of the New York Jets want to get the hell out of there.
Today's guests, NFL Network analyst Steve Mariucci, Jaguars general manager Trent Baalke, from CBS's Young and the Restless, actor Eric Braeden. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live from our Roku channel set right here on the Rich Eisen Show in Los Angeles, California. Good to see everybody out there. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've got Steve Mariucci calling us in about 20 minutes' time. The great Victor Newman from Young and the Restless. Eric Braeden is coming in studio in hour number three. He's been here before. It's always fun when he stops by to visit. We're going to have some fun with him again in hour number three. And Trent Baalke, the general manager of the Jaguars, will call in, which means he was not the guy in Jacksonville who won Mega Millions this week. I'm assuming, unless he loves his job that much.
Oh, man.
I would stay, Rich.
No.
If you're an NFL GM, you'd stay?
You would stay? No, yeah. On this show.
I would stay on the show 100%.
All right, I appreciate it.
Never see me again. I'm sorry.
I know. I get it.
Might not show up that morning.
I get it. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. How are you?
Look, I'm staying until the checks start to clear.
I like it.
Good job, TJ.
You know what? Because it can't be Trent Baalke who's hit the Mega Millions in Jacksonville. That person's name is Doug Peterson. He hit the Mega Millions.
Like Trevor Lawrence?
Well, Urban Meyer ripped up his winning ticket.
Urban Meyer had a winning ticket.
He just torched it himself.
I don't need this.
And Doug Peterson was just like, you know what, I'll bide my time. Oh, you want me to coach Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, Florida for Shad Khan's team? Is that what you want me to do? Oh, okay. The team that is the owner who is spending money to keep the team in Jacksonville with an international flavor to it. And is spending all this money on a new facility that tests. Do I ask Trent Baalke about the new urinals that they supposedly put in there that tests the?
I think you have to.
What is it test? It just tests what's
testing how hydrated you are. Yeah. If you're dehydrated, I think it'll come up red and then
you've got an IV. Very impressive.
Yeah. It's impressive.
Very impressive.
So drink your water.
All I know is I just hydrate. We all know just not to go too deep into this thing I just need space. That's all I need when you're at that spot.
I think they got the borders up against.
I don't need anyone.
That's
around.
Why I never understood when you go into a bathroom like in Vegas or a hotel or something, and there's an even number of urinals.
Yeah, just
it needs to be odd so you can go every other one.
Yeah, it's a good exactly. Yeah.
What are we doing?
844-204 Rich is the number to dial if you want to chime in on any of these subjects.
Like urinals.
Yeah. Football's tonight, folks.
Oh,
baby. NFL Network has both games.
Mac Jones.
Games.
Bailey Zappi.
That's the one I'm looking for.
Stop it.
I'm looking for the quick game tonight. Tonight's the night.
Hey.
We see the quick game. Bill O'Brien.
It's going to be great. Mac's going to be awesome tonight. I'm pretty pumped.
He'll play like what? One series and out?
That's
one
it.
And out? One and done?
Who cares? What do you mean? Play the whole first quarter. This guy needs reps.
CJ Stroud.
Now, that's what I'm talking about.
Seeing ghosts. Will he start seeing ghosts tonight?
No, he's going to be good. He's a good player.
He's going against Bill Belichick. See, folks, everybody's wondering, what can you tell in preseason?
Nothing.
Excuse me. This is 2023. What you see in preseason is everything. Because what you see in OTAs is everything. What you see in the draft is everything. What you see in the combine is everything. Oh my God, this guy at the combine, he just ran a 4.440. If my team doesn't get him, we stink. Oh my God, chose this guy in the sixth round. I saw him play one time against Midwest Valley State. He was awesome. We're going to win a Super Bowl. Oh my God, we lost out on this free agent. We suck. We'll never be good. Oh my God, this coach just said this about this player. He doesn't know what he's talking about. We stink.
Stink.
7-on-7 drills. Oh, this video. Okay.
Did you see that catch?
This video of the wobbly pass from Tua means he stinks,
exactly.
And Tyreek Hill is going to be lamenting leaving Kansas City.
Why would he leave Mahomes?
And then all of a sudden, Tua, when he's healthy, and Tyreek Hill are one of the best combinations in football.
Well, Rich, he might be lamenting.
Everything. We read into everything.
2,000 yards.
For instance, Hard Knocks. Trophy in the case.
Looking lonely.
Trophy in the case. Now, of course, I didn't come on here and say that. I was a little bit more nuanced, saying I see a happy warrior in Aaron Rodgers, and I see a bunch of coaches and players who are following his lead already. You're not wondering, like, how is he fitting in? He's fitting in great. He is comfortable. It feels like he's been there for a long time, is what it looked like, right?
Yeah, I mean, teammates.
It looks like Aaron Rodgers has been a Jet all his life. Except for the fact, if he was a Jet all his life, he wouldn't be so happy. And we know that as Jets fans. So cut to...
Don't project.
Hey, the first practice against another team yesterday. We even had a caller call in.
Boots on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Rich Eisen Show Inside Training Camp. R-E-S-I-T-C. Rich Eisen Show Inside Training Camp.
I love it.
I'm mixing the metaphors and the
shows.
The acronyms of our show and my other shop, NFL Network. We got a guy calling in saying, hey, Aaron Rodgers just went 3-0. Zach Wilson just threw an interception. Yep. And all the conversation coming out of yesterday. Just look at the New York newspapers today. Look at them all. Look at them all. Rich Cimini, who I quote here quite a bit, he writes for ESPN.com. He's a Jets reporter. He's going to be busy all year. I hope Rich is going to have his nice suits ready because he's going to be zooming. He's going to be on TV a lot for ESPN. Headline, Jets sense frustration from Aaron Rodgers, offense after spotty practice.
Uh-oh.
They couldn't protect him. The offensive line.
Uh-oh.
And that's what everybody's talking about with the New York Jets this year. Can Rodgers be protected? Do they really have his back? Figuratively, boy, Hard Knocks is a 60-minute infomercial on the Jets having Aaron Rodgers back. And Aaron being thrilled to be in New York, will he be just staring at the ceiling at some point this season saying, where in the F is David Bakhtiari?
Right.
So, when you say, what do you read in? Everything. Everything. You read in every damn last thing.
Well, so tonight, a quick game tonight, Rich.
Tonight, the quick game. Tonight's about the quick game, and then Vikings Seahawks. Oh my goodness, Seahawks! Who's going to run the football for them the whole season down the tubes?
Everybody's hurt.
Yikes! Vikings Seahawks, which by the way, be a pretty damn good playoff game. Last year, what about this year? Don't sleep on the Seattle Seahawks.
Maybe I was just a year early.
Excuse me. You were correct. The Seahawks were a top five pick. You just didn't think it would be Denver's first pick.
Right.
You didn't think it would be coming from Denver, man. Russell Wilson. And that's the other thing, too. Be careful what you read in. Remember the Bears played the Seahawks last year in the preseason? That might have been your overreaction or your what's
right,
more
though,
likely.
Battle for the first pick. I just had the wrong team.
You had the wrong team. Bears and Texans. And the Seahawks made the playoffs with Geno Smith, who wins the Comeback Player of the Year award, first ever won by somebody not coming back from injury but from mediocrity. Or lack of opportunities. Let's be nice to Geno, who's nice to this program. Vikings tonight. What do we got going on here, huh? We already saw Kellen Mond in Cleveland.
I want to see the rookies, though. I want to see Jordan Addison. I want to see... How's Kirk look after
Jackson Smith and Jigba?
Yeah, let's do it. Again, like you said, who's running the ball for Seattle? I want to see Pete Carroll chew gum.
Mm-hmm. He'll be chomping.
Let's go.
He'll be chomping.
I'm just pumped. Two games tonight, Rich. Oh, man, we taking the overs? What do you think? Preseason overs?
He doesn't know what you're talking
about,
Chris.
I know what he's talking about.
What do we got, Rich?
Sometimes you know and sometimes you don't.
Here's what I've got to say on this.
Easy there, Phil Mickelson.
I read that Phil easy. Story this morning, and I was like, I got to step my game up.
Easy.
I'm a lightweight.
Easy. Did you wind up betting on the Hall of Fame game?
No.
Good for you.
I mean,
wait, tell me this Phil Mickelson story.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
What? Go for it.
So there is a new book coming out by one of the most famous sports gamblers. This guy named Billy Walters. Him and Phil became friends in the early 2010s. And just the reports, he kept detailed records of him and Phil's relationships and the bets they would share together. And basically, Phil bet about $1 billion worth in 5 years over the course of period. Over 1,000 bets of 110,000 to win 100,000, another 800 more of 220,000. Reportedly, this guy Billy Walters talked Phil out of betting on himself in the Ryder Cup in 2012, a match which the Europeans won because, in famous fashion, called the Miracle at Medina, partly because Phil lost his match on Sunday to Justin Rose. A 400K bet that he reportedly talked Phil out of. Phil's a maniac.
Wow.
And this is way more and way bigger than we thought of the gambling issues that Phil had that was detailed in the Alan Shipnuck book.
Well, and you know, three things. Number one, he's got a sickness. I can't imagine. He must live his life where he's got to have action on literally everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that it just goes away. Like, suddenly you don't have to have action on everything. And we just saw a video of him with Bryson DeChambeau about to play a
practice round. 9-hole practice round at the recent Live event. Phil's talking about betting 1-2,000 on the practice round.
So that's number one.
Yeah.
Number two is maybe he had to go to the Live Tour. Did the Live Tour get him whole?
I mean, that's been the speculation.
I mean, is that what
time.
It is? Did the Saudis basically get him out of debt, gambling debt?
Who knows?
We will never know. And then number three is, I asked the thief among us, figuratively, to see if this is dishonor amongst thieves, writing about this stuff.
Well, Billy Walters has a little bit of beef with Phil. This guy went to prison for 5 years for the insider trading thing a while back. And he claims that Phil could have avoided his prison sentence by merely, quote, telling the truth.
And so by not doing that, he's now telling the truth about Phil in a book.
Correct.
Talking about how Phil just action on everything.
And also his life. He's in his 70s. His life as a sports gambler and a famous sports gambler. And, you know, there's a chapter or two about Phil and their relationship.
That's sick, man. And I'm not saying sick like in the 21st century way of saying that's wild. No, it's ill. That's an illness.
Mm-hmm.
I said this all the time, man. I said this all the time. I'll just conflate the two, which it might be doing so by saying the word conflate. If Pete Rose had ever come out and done what Mickey Mantle did at the end of his life about alcoholism and parenting and saying, I was a bad parent because I was an alcoholic and I am dying and don't be like me, and went on a tour, you know, of Oprah and whatever, and basically was open about, this is what happened to me, don't be like me. I think if Pete Rose had ever done that about gambling, he'd be in the Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown, New York right now. 1,000,000%. If he came out and said, I had a gambling sickness, you damn right I bet on the Reds. That's why I signed that document. And I would like back in, and my way of being back in is, this is a sickness. Gambling is a sickness. Do not be like me. I had the money. I ended up losing it. Obviously, Phil has money. We think. But this is a sickness. I view this, and I'm not like, that's wild, man. Oh, gosh, Phil's a character. No, I'm thinking he's got an illness. Shoot you straight. Straight up, that's the way I view it, and I understand. I'm not a gambler, so by trade profession, I can't be one. You know, so
I like having a little action.
No, I hear you.
Nine figure losses. I'm fine with
the fantasy football and with my buddies being the extra action, if you will.
Play little cards here and there, but like, yeah. Good God. There was a report that
you're betting $220,000 to just win $20,000 less than what you put on the table. That's how sure of a thing it is? Is that the way?
Yeah, I mean, there's some things out there. He famously bet $20K on the Ravens to win the 2000 Super Bowl at 28-1. You know, he bet one day he bet 43 different baseball games.
What?
He bet $1 million in a day on baseball, essentially.
Dude.
Yeah.
I saw a game the other night in Anaheim where it was all buttoned up, and then a 6-run ninth happens. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, that's drives gamblers.
Last night, hold on a second. Last night in baseball, we saw Michael Lorenzen pitch a no-hitter in his first game as a Philly.
Yep.
And we saw a baseball land in the light of the Green Monster.
Yeah, that was amazing.
So anything can happen.
That's a ground rule double,
in almost
right?
In any sport. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I mean.
So does that answer your question as to what that story is, TJ? You're like, wait a minute, what story?
My mind's
that's
blown
the
a
story.
Bit.
Don't you think? I mean, yeah. I can, well, whatever.
Reportedly $100 million loss for Phil.
Well, maybe. And so if there's a group of individuals that he clearly, as he stated publicly, he finds disreputable, and they say, we will give you X amount of dollars, and then you look at your bank account over the span of all this time. I don't know if that put him in the red or not. We have no idea.
We'll never.
Highly successful guy who, by the way, if he wanted to, without all this craziness, ever since he won the PGA championship.
Crazy.
You know? It's just been, when he's thumbs up in with his aviators, like, hey, everybody, you know? And he became the darling of the United States for everybody. It's been just nothing but down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But he seems really happy. He looks great. Mm-hmm. None of this apparently seems to be affecting his physical or mental state. Maybe it's because his financial state is as good as it's ever been.
Yeah, he's in the black again.
844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Steve Mariucci. Moochie man. He has been to Bills camp, Chiefs camp, Niners camp, and will talk to us about tonight's NFL Network live doubleheader. Texans, Patriots, Vikings, Seahawks, L.
Let's go.
F. G. On the RES. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel and radio. Let's talk about AG1, people, a new partner of the Rich Eisen Show, a daily foundational nutritional supplement that helps support whole body health. And if you're like me, then it's so hard to keep up with a supplement routine throughout your busy day when it comes with a bunch of products on top of it. So when you drink AG1, you notice an overall feeling of health. It can help support your mental clarity, improve digestion, focus. Drink it in the morning. Drink it in the afternoon, before working out in the morning, before making your coffee, starting your day. Makes you feel unstoppable, ready to take on the day and anything that comes your way. If you want help taking ownership of your health, and of course you do, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/Eisen. That's drinkag1.com/Eisen. Take ownership of your health right now. Check it out. drinkag1.com/Eisen.
Are you currently enjoying this show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Roku channel, regular viewers of this show know that we usually wait until the radio audience returns to bring the guest on. But let's bring on Steve Mariucci now, because he's not just any guest. It's just we love him. He knows us. And the radio audience will just join us in the middle of it. How are you, Mooch? You there?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Mooch.
I'm great. I'm up at home right now.
Yep.
After traveling around some camps, and now I'm coming down this weekend to the network studios doing some preseason stuff. Been great. How about you?
We're good. Brockman's boy is now close to three, correct?
Three and a half.
Three and a half.
Three and a half.
Taylor, my daughter, comes home. Taylor comes home from camp today. Coop and Zan have been home for a few days.
Okay.
TJ never leaves the house. And Del Tufo's dyed his hair completely jet black.
Oh, it's so black now, Mooch.
He's totally.
And I've lost a ton of weight, Mooch.
Yo, he's lost a ton of weight. He won't tell us how much because he doesn't get on a scale. Mooch.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't tell.
That's exactly what I wanted.
It's a classic line.
That's the response.
Classic line.
We love that.
Best line ever.
You guys.
Yeah, but he's got a.
You, buddy.
He's got a fresh coat of paint on the lid, Mooch.
Okay. Right now. All right. You know, he needs a little touch up.
Now, you went full Bob Barker. Like, one day you walked in, you're just, like, completely gray, Mooch. Like, you did that.
Yeah, so, I was trying to do the TV thing keep my hair darker, you know, to keep looking younger.
But?
And then, really, when COVID hit, Rich, I said, heck with it. I'm just going to just go all natural. And boom, yeah.
And
white or gray.
And you got the thumbs up from Gail, obviously. You would otherwise.
You know what? A couple times she goes, yeah, maybe put a little bit back in there. Maybe a little bit. I don't know.
Okay.
This is it.
Very good.
On, it's this.
All right. Well, I love it. Looks good on you. See, I knew bringing Mooch in just before the radio audience would be the exact right thing to do. And I'm back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Love this man. He's worked at the NFL Network for, we're turning 20. He joined in early 2006, right after the 2005 season was all over. I love this man, Steve Mariucci, back on the Rich Eisen Show. Mooch.
We've been together for a long time, huh, Richard?
We sure have, Steve.
Well, just coming up will be my 19th Super Bowl with you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
with us.
Can't wait.
I know. Neither
can
I.
Can't wait for the season.
Are you in your office right now up in...
home office, yeah.
The home office. And is that the one with that photograph of you jumping in the air as Young found T.O. in the end zone to beat the Packers?
Yeah, I have that right here.
Okay. How high in the air? Is that the highest you've ever jumped to? Mm-hmm. You know,
it's like a 43-inch vertical jump, Rich, at least. I was levitated. No, it's the weirdest-looking picture because my son Tyler was on the sidelines, and he was down there. He's in the picture, too, looking. And I was, like, just up in the air, like, I don't know. I was probably up 12 or 14 inches, But
it's the body language you used because you knew,
like, the ball.
Yeah, I was about to say the ball had to go over the linebacker to get to T.O. and you knew that, so you jumped in the air to get the ball levitating as high as it needed. It wasn't Young, it wasn't Steve Young. It was you with your body language on that day.
Yeah, I was like controlling the ball like a remote control, you know. And he just had me up and over. That's kind of a throw that these guys have to learn when they throw up inside. Up and over the linebackers, and it was exactly that. And it was Owens, he caught it. That was pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. All right, let's jump into this, Steve. Tonight, two preseason games, Texans, Patriots, and then of course the Vikings and the Seahawks, of course, on NFL Network. It's on our air this evening. What do you want to see tonight? Like, what should we be looking for tonight out of these games?
You know, I think there's a, not I think, I know there's a trend going on where guys don't play their starters much in the preseason anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of it's a trend, and it's headed that way. Even though there's one less preseason game, they still, a lot of starters just will play no preseason snaps. And so I'm always looking for the young kids, you know. I hope the C.J. Strouds of the world will play for Houston. And
they will.
Do we know if he's playing or starting?
Yeah, he's starting. He's going to be out there.
They need it, you know, and kind of reminds me of when I was coaching the Hall of Fame game one year. There's this kid that came in at the end. You know, Niners were playing the Patriots, and this kid for the Patriots came in. I can't remember his name. I think it was Tom something or other.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, maybe. Yeah. And he drove his team down in that game for a touchdown, and I went, oh, that's that Tom Brady kid. Mm-hmm. And So it's always fun to see the rookies and the youngsters and the new kids on the block to see if you think they're going to contribute or not. But they need it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They need the preseason snaps.
How did Giovanni Carmazzi look in that Hall of Fame game for you, Steve? How do you look for you?
Tough day at the office. And so...
Why do you do that to Steve?
Yeah, they got us. Brady Bowl.
Yes.
It was. They both played right at the end.
The goat farmer. The goat. The Patriots got the goat, and you got the farmer.
Yeah, I mean, who started that? That was on that.
The Brady.
What was the name of that?
The Brady Six. Yep.
The Brady Six. Some producers just thought he would call him a goat farmer. And that's so far from the truth. He was a good kid.
Let's get into who you've seen. You were at the Niners camp. What insight do you have on the quarterback depth chart order when it's all said and done,
so,
Steve?
Brock Purdy was playing that day, was practicing that day.
Yeah.
And we had Kyle Shanahan on the set with us, and I asked him, because last year I was there, you know, in camp, and, right. And it was so different because – Jimmy Garoppolo was banned to the other practice field. He wasn't even going to be on the team. They were going to trade him as soon as they could.
Right.
And then Trey Lance was taking every snap or you know, in the ones. And so much has changed in the last year, right? Because now Brock Purdy is the starter. And Kyle said he's healthy. He's ready to go. He has no limitations. So they got him on a little bit of a pitch count, which is smart. Every now and then they'll give him a practice off so he doesn't overtire his throwing arm or his elbow or his torn UCL, but he's the starter. And so there's a battle for backup but with Trey Lance, who they drafted up, they're traded up in the draft so much to go get him, and he's battling for number two with Sam Darnold. It's really interesting. They've got three quarterbacks that are very, very capable, I think. And who knows? They might end up trading Trey Lance.
That's the question about it, Steve. But what's the sense you got there that you're willing to share? Because, you know, everybody talks once the microphones come off or whatever. But
the sense about the quarterback situation?
About Lance. The fact that he, you know, that's all you hear about him is how talented he is. The upside is great. Huge ceiling. And he just needs the reps. He needs the time. And it doesn't seem like he's going to get it again. Last year was the time for him to get it, and he had to, you know, get on a cart in his second game, and the rest appears to be history. Is it a lack of snaps or ability,
I don't think it's ability. I think lack of snaps is really, really comes into play here, because his last year in college was a COVID year, so he didn't do anything.
Right.
Then he comes to the pros as a youngster, wasn't old enough to rent a car, and he didn't do anything, and so he's so far behind in terms of playing in live situations, and so they were so high on him last year, Rich, I couldn't believe it. He was going to be the next Steve Young. And it's been the injuries that gotten him. It's you know, his ankle he got hurt in week two. And so the poor kid has had the injury bug. And if he stays healthy, he's big enough, strong enough, athletic, smart, and all of it. It's just been he's been hurt. And it's that simple. But you got to be available, like Joe Thomas, 10,000 snaps in a row.
Right.
You got to be available, right? And you can be Joe Montana, but if you miss most of the time, you're not Joe Montana. And so anyway, that's his deal, and you're going to see him. They're not going to play Brock Purdy, I don't think, in the preseason. So you'll see Trey Lance quite a bit in the preseason with Sam Darnold.
Okay, so then you'll get a sense of things. So then I'll ask you a game day morning type topic bar question that you are then forced to answer. Your best guess, Sam Darnold was brought in for Purdy insurance or Lance insurance, and you can't say both, Steve. You cannot say
Purdy
both.
Purdy insurance. This is my guess. I don't know for sure. But I think if Trey Lance plays well in the preseason, okay, because I think they know what they have in Sam Darnold. Smart guy, experienced guy. He went 4-2 with the Panthers last year. I mean, he's been around a little bit with your Jets, and you know, and he'd be a heck of a backup. And he's a good mentor kind of guy, doesn't rock the boat. If Trey Lance can show well in the preseason, I think there were a lot of teams that liked him when he came out in the draft and had him graded in a, as a first-round guy. And so I think teams will say, hey, look at him. He's back. He's healthy. And would be willing to give up a nice draft pick or two to go get him. Because, you know, the, there's such a premium on having a healthy quarterback and a guy that's capable. Maybe somebody gets hurt early in the season before October, trade deadline. I think that might be they might be able to get some draft picks back.
Steve Mariucci, my colleague from NFL Game Day Morning, fresh off his inside training camp tour for NFL Network, which has the live doubleheader of preseason action tonight, starting with Texans and the Patriots, 7 Eastern time, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what's the story of Bills camp that you took out of your visit there to Western New York?
First of all, let's go back to the Niners. You know, that is such a talented team. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. They've got blue-chip players all over the place, all right? A lot of these guys are we're the highest-paid guy in the league at their position, from Trent Williams to Kittle to Kyle Juszczyk to Fred Warner. God, Bosa, come on. He's not in camp yet. So they think they can win the Super Bowl.
Sure.
I go over to the Bills' camp. They think they can win the Super Bowl. That's a talented team. You're going to get guys, you know, they were 13-3 and lost to the Bengals, but Josh Allen's an animal. We all know that. Good receiving core, and they added Dalton Kincaid from Utah, the tight end, the young tight end that is terrific, and drafted another offensive lineman. And they're going to have guys coming back. They were one of the best defenses in the league for sure, and Von Miller missed 7 games, and he's returning. Tre'Davious White, he missed 11 games, an all-pro guy, and he's returning. Micah Hyde missed the whole season. He's returning. DeMar Hamlin's returning, thank God.
Yep.
I mean, they have a talented roster as well. So, you know, they've just got to finish strong. They've been making it to the playoffs, and it's either been the Bengals or the Chiefs that knock them out right at the end. They're right there. They're right there. They're a play or two away from going to a Super Bowl, and that was a fun team to watch, man. They're talented.
I still think it's their division to win and lose. You know, I think
I
it's
too.
Their division, you know, and I know that we're hard knocking with the Jets, and they do look incredibly talented, just add GOAT, and they've done that with Rodgers, who looks really happy and content and healthy and ready to go. But I still think that's the Bills' division, Steve.
Yeah, I think it is. Know? It should be. They've been there, done that. They've won it 3 times in a row now.
Right.
And the Jets will definitely be better. Aaron Rodgers kind of found the fountain of youth over there. He's got a young team to play with, and he's like you said, he's having a ball. It seemed like, and I'm a Packer fan, right? You know that, but it seems like he's really happy over there. The change of pace probably has done him some good mentally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jets in Miami are going to be very, very good. I can't imagine we're talking about predicting the Patriots 4th in that division after winning it so damn many times. But that's how it stacks up right now with the rosters.
Steve Mariucci here on the Rich Eisen Show. And the Chiefs look as loaded as they come. Obviously, Chris Jones isn't there. We're assuming he returns, and we know what that means, though. But what was your sense of Chiefs camp there, Steve?
Yeah, they're another team that thinks they can go back to the Super Bowl. Heck,
sure.
They played in the last 3 out of 4. And so Patrick Mahomes is as good as ever. You know, so I asked him a question, Rich, because they've had so darn many changes with receivers coming and going over there.
Yep.
And they develop receivers, and then they're off to another team, you know, and they've been drafting guys. And I said, how do you rev them up with these receivers? Because you're still first in the league in passing. He says, I bring him down to Texas. Well, this summer, I brought him down to Texas for a month and a half to work out. A month and a half, Rich. And I know they're not just throwing routes and running sprints and stuff, but they play a little golf and they have some good bonding time. But these guys work, man. I mean, he's such a leader, and they do whatever he asks them to do. And of course, Kelsey's the man too. And this is a scary team for the rest of the league. Why? They played 10 rookies in the Super Bowl. This is a really young team. They started 4 rookies. And Isaiah Pacheco, you know, he's one of the reasons that the running backs get no respect, because here's a 7th-round pick that ends up starting for the champs,
mm-hmm.
and he's really a good player. and at running back. And so they feel like, hey, we can do it again. Just kind of stay healthy, and these 10 rookies will get better in their second year, and we'll even be better than last year.
Did Mahomes pick up the check for everyone to come to Texas for a month and a half, Steve? Did he pick it up?
You know what? I didn't quite get to that. Ask him who paid for it all.
That's the follow-up.
Because his daughter, we were doing the interview with Kimmy Checks, and all of a sudden somebody put Sterling, his daughter, in his arms during the interview, and it got, you know, it got cut off a little bit, and Brittany was there and this and that. But he probably did. You know, he probably put him up someplace, I don't know if he paid for all the beer or the lunches. I don't know, or the golf, but he said he even gave him golf lessons.
Well, I'm sure he can get a tee time.
Blast, man.
I'm sure he can get
That's a long time, though, to get together in your off season.
Steve Mariucci here on the Rich Eisen Show. A couple of coaching stories I want to hit you on. First one up, Sean Payton talking about Nathaniel Hackett's job that he took because of how poorly Nathaniel Hackett. I mean, we all saw. I mean, how many times did we talk about it with the Broncos and Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson on game day morning last year? I lost track until the firing happened. What did you make of Sean Payton's comments, Steve?
Well, first of all, we all saw it and was like, what? What did he just say? And then, thankfully, he apologized the next day. I think he felt bad. Like, it's like, what did I just say with no filter, just kind of talking to guys in the back room? You know what I mean? You know what, Rich? In the coaching fraternity, and Sean knows this. He's a good guy, good coach and all that. But in the coaching fraternity, there's honor amongst thieves. I mean, you just don't rip on other coaches. You just don't do that much. You know what I mean? Unless it's really personal or I don't know what would make you do that. But, you know, a lot of coaches have been fired, and a lot of coaches, you know, win and lose and all of that. But it's kind of an unwritten law that you just don't criticize. And he threw, you know, his front office under the bus, and the team under the bus. And so I felt that was a little, and he felt, he knew it. It was uncalled for, and he regretted it right away. He said 40 minutes after I said it, he said, I can't believe I just said that. Because Nathaniel Hackett is a good coach, and he is a good guy. Of course, Aaron Rodgers has his back big time, right?
Yes.
And so that was something that took me by surprise, and it was unlike Sean Payton. He's not usually like that.
And then the last story I want to hit you on before I send you on your Thursday, Eric Bieniemy's coaching style. We all know it's gruff, it's tough, it's old school, 20th century, however you want to put it. But that's now out there in the fore that Ron Rivera letting it loose, that some players have come up to him to say, hey, can you talk to coach? And he's like, you talk to him. You know, he's just trying to coach you hard. And that folks think he's coaching players too hard. What's your assessment of it, Steve?
Yeah, I've never coached with Eric, but I've had coaching friends that have coached with him.
Like Andy, sure. Uh-huh.
And you are exactly right. He coaches hard, old school. Man, when he coached Adrian Peterson over there at the Vikings, he was on him like, whoa, you know? And that's just his style. And so do you tone it down? I don't know.
If you're a coach,
ask Tom Coughlin to tone it down a little bit. That's different. That's not a
right. That's
analogy,
the HC.
Tom changed his ways a little bit, and maybe Dick Vermeil did too, to be a little bit more player friendly. But that's one of the things that you kind of know that when you hire him, that he's not going to be that player's coach. He's going to be like in your face and say it like he feels. And so that's how he is. They'll work it out. He's a good coach.
Have you ever had somebody, a player, come up to you and say, hey, Steve, hey, coach, can you talk to your assistant for us? Because he's on us too much. I mean, how would you handle something like that if a player came up to you?
I guess I have. Some coaches have their own language. Some coaches are, you know, just soft-spoken. Some are crazy. I mean, there's all different kinds of teachers and professors and coaches, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they all have to be with their own style and personality. One time I asked a guy to tone it down a bit, which was no problem.
Mm-hmm.
No problem, you know? And if players, if I were Ron, and Ron's a friend of mine, and
yep.
if players came to me, and if I were Ron, and they say there's an issue, I would have a conversation with Eric and just say, hey, just tone it down a hair, okay? We got we don't need confrontation before the season starts.
Take it down from 11, because obviously when he hired him, he knew this. I mean, that's a secret.
Of course,
it's not a secret amongst certainly amongst us and NFL Network. You referred to the Adrian Peterson coaching. We saw that through a feature that we aired on NFL Game Day Morning at the time, and so it's well known. So it'd be kind of tough for Ron to tell him to tone it down, right? Because he knew who he was hiring. This is the guy you hire, you know.
Yeah, you know, but you always can have a suggestion as as the boss,
right?
Have a suggestion how this is going to work better, and Eric's a good coach. He's very capable and competent. Mm-hmm. That's if he was a Magoo and he just didn't know the offense or couldn't very well. That's another story. But he's very capable, and so they're counting on him to run that offense and call it and game plan it. And so, you know, sometimes doctors have different bedside manners than others, right? It's just, maybe it warrants a quick conversation.
Magoo, by the way, a great 70s cartoon reference right there out of you, Mooch. I like it. Very well done.
Black and white, right? I mean, I miss the cartoons from Saturday mornings way back in the day, Popeye and Roadrunner and all those. Now we got all that Spider-Man stuff, like we dress up like superheroes.
Have you
dress up as a superhero?
Nope. That's you, man. Mooch, it's just they're going to dress you up in a Spider-Man costume as many times as it possibly takes for you to understand where it closes up.
Put it on backwards.
Yes, you.
I didn't have time to change it.
He put.
Oh well.
The costume guys velcroed in the back. And he threw it on with the Velcroing in the front. So he had to take the mask and turn it. I don't know how the hell you put that on within the 3-minute commercial break, but look forward to more fun times, man.
But you know, I lost about 10 or 12 pounds, Rich. You're going to be proud of me.
Okay, yeah. Mooch. All right.
Yeah,
so
I'm just trying to do. I'm going great, but I'm getting skinnier. I hope I can keep this weight off. In fact, right after this call, I'm going for a hike up the reservoir.
Okay. So now do you want me to say something if there's like a little bit of a snack and the, you know, like 7:30 in the morning snack, you know, like the blood sugar drops? You want me to say something so you don't need it?
We got to talk about our trip to Israel, don't we, Rich?
Sure.
My trip and your trip, man.
We both went.
That was
we
so
didn't
fun.
Cross paths.
That was so unbelievable.
Next year in Jerusalem, Mooch, we'll do that. Take care of yourself.
We should do a show from over there.
By the way, 1,000,000%. That sounds good to me. Okay. You be well. Take care. Love you, Mooch.
Well,
see you in a couple weeks.
Guys, I said hello.
I will.
And give him a punch in the arm for me. See you soon.
Love you, buddy.
Steve Mariucci, everybody. Steve Mariucci. There he goes. I'm going to have him. Is he still on right there? Is he still on?
Still there.
Mooch, take a picture of that photograph on the wall of you jumping in the air. I want to show the audience what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Take a picture of it. Text it to me. I want to see it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right.
There you go, Steve Mariucci. Because, again, the ball that Young threw to Owens had to go over the linebacker, and he jumped in the air knowing the play that he called, what Young had to do to complete the pass, and he used his body language. I've never seen Mooch jump that high in my entire life.
Remember, Steve Young slipped and fell, almost got sacked.
I know that.
And then made the throw.
I know. Owens, he caught it,
Last time Mooch was in studio, remember he told the story about, like, Bill Walsh had a picture hanging up of Bill Walsh kneeling? So he decided he wanted to recreate it without telling
Steve Young. Yeah, he called timeout and a blowout of the game. And remember, we told Steve Young the story for the first time. He'd never heard that before.
So he's just like,
Mooch is
down.
Literally 1 in 1,000,000 mold broken.
Really?
True.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls here on the Rich Eisen Show. Ron Rivera has said a mea culpa. We'll discuss that still to come before Trent Baalke, the GM of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
It's time for kickoff, and the Believe podcast will get you ready for the new season.
How do you live through this as a Detroit sports fan?
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
You solidified your defense. You got better.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
If you don't do those things, then you're not even trying your hardest to win at football, and I don't know what we're doing.
There was a lot of great players on those teams that I was fortunate to be part of.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Mike Del Tufo, over there, when Justin Hartley of This Is Us was here on Friday, he planks weights on his back Okay, there he is, putting plank after plank. That was a 45-pound. He waves on more weight. See, come on, let's get some more. Right? Del Tufo sees this and he goes, I could do that, is what he said. And you said, he said he would do 145. Now, we took that, when you say when he can do 145, how much weight do you think that means? Just off
145.
Plate. Right.
No. No. One plate, that weighs 45 pounds.
How long do you say you can do that?
A minute, come on.
All right, here we go.
Michael, get off your knees.
Go to the right spot in your mind now. Go to the right spot in your mind, buddy. Come on. Look at him. All we see is the finish line, baby. All we see.
Coach him up, Herb. Coach him up.
See. Victory is simple, baby.
Ooh. Right uh-oh, now, uh-oh.
Don't worry uh-oh. About the okay. body, baby. Our mind's controlling our body. Our
preach,
body
Michael, preach.
Our mind. We got this, baby. We got the. We gonna show the world. That's what you're about.
What
show.
Do we got?
Show the world, baby. Don't worry
uh-oh.
About it.
Uh-oh.
Just only 24 seconds.
Flatten out.
Don't worry,
flatten
about,
out.
It. Don't worry
like...
about it. You got two blocks out. All right. You got two blocks gone.
Halfway home.
You got two blocks gone. You got halfway two home. More go. All see, just see that finish line. Look at the glory. Look at your chest touching the tape. Get your chest on that tape. Look at you, baby.
20
you're
seconds to go.
In. You're coming in 20 seconds, baby. You can finish this, man. We can do this.
I do that every day, people, at the gym.
I can't tell.
I do it. I do
it. I can't tell. You just use that line.
I can't tell.
By the way, in that video, Del Tufo grayer than Mooch. No, look
at that. Oh, man.
Earl Scheib.
Back here on the show. Back here on the program.
And that's Carpe.
Sam in Indianapolis. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. First in, first up from our 844-204-RICH number to dial to have a conversation. What's up, Sam?
Hi, Rich. First-time caller. Long-time listener.
Hey. Attaboy.
I'm just now leaving training camp here in Indianapolis. Quarterback situation is definitely looking interesting. Earlier this week, they dropped the depth chart, and it showed for the first quarterback was Gardner Minshew or Anthony Richardson. And they just announced today after practice that Richardson will be the starter for the first week of preseason. That's got me thinking. You know, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson both sat out for a bit before actually starting. Do you think it'd be more beneficial at this point for Richardson to sit out and learn a little bit since he's kind of raw? Or should he start week one as our quarterback?
He should absolutely start week one as your quarterback. Gardner Minshew is a Rich Eisen Show favorite. I like what I see out of him. He is not going to get an opportunity in Indianapolis long term. He is a great guy to have if Anthony Richardson can't answer the bell 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We saw him damn near beat the Cowboys last year. He can do it. And obviously Shane Steichen knows exactly, he knows exactly what he can do. We don't know what Richardson can do yet except take this team to where it needs to go, and I appreciate the call. Plus, there's a guy who signs the checks who wants the Willie that he's focused on right now gets freed in the Pacific Ocean. Once Jim Irsay is off the whale rescue circuit, he will turn his full focus and attention back to the Indianapolis Colts. I'm assuming he can multitask and do both, but I'm just pointing out here that he's got many interests in mind, but one of the most significant interests, his main interest, is the Indianapolis Colts. And he is done with the old school, old veteran quarterbacks. He is done looking at the Iron Deer in the front lawn in the form of Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, and Nick Foles. He is done with that. He's done with it.
Yep.
Finished. And Sam Ehlinger, unfortunately, your time to shine and get an opportunity and become the next Tom Brady when you least expect a generationally brilliant quarterback to trot off the bench when you need a burst. It wasn't him. It's this kid. He's going to start this preseason. He is going to start week one. And this is just a progression. That's it. The question when he had him, look, the reason why Mahomes could sit is because Alex Smith was there and he could take the team to the playoffs, and he did. Mm-hmm. He did take the Kansas City Chiefs to the playoffs. They had that benefit. This is not that situation. They need to win now. The coach wants to, the owner wants to win now, wants to see the kid. They drafted the kid fourth overall. They're not going to just say, okay, let's see what Gardner Minshew can do against Jacksonville. Nuh-uh. You have Jacksonville, and Trent Baalke's joining us in about 25 minutes time. You've got your generationally talented quarterback that you drafted first overall. We've got one fourth overall. This is the way it's going to go in the AFC South from now on. You bring Trevor Lawrence to our building, we will counter with Anthony Richardson. Inevitable. And I think this is also listening to the locker room. I think the locker room digs the kid. And plus, their best player is rehabbing off-site in the most bizarre fashion I've heard. You know, I'm leaving the team to go rehab my ankle.
Also, what do you have to lose?
Well, what you have to lose is his ability to succeed, because you're putting him in a spot that he's not ready to succeed in. Look at Zach Wilson.
Look at Peyton Manning. Worked out.
I got it. In luck. Yeah. But that's his point. Look, our caller just, made an interesting point.
Like, you don't, if he's not, you don't ready, buy a sports car to have it sit in the garage.
I don't. That's the way it works in the NFL these days. Yeah. You know, unless you've got the sports car in Rodgers and you said Jordan Love, but you also drafted him, you know, in the back third of the first round. I still can't believe they did that and surprised Rodgers with
nuts.
It.
Nuts.
I still can't believe that happened.
Crazy.
Trent Baalke going to call in from the Jaguars front office hour two. You know, and CJ Stroud is in a situation. That's why I think, was it Daniel Jeremiah or who said that this week, that he thinks CJ Stroud's in the best position to succeed here, because, you know, the Texans are not in a, we're
not in win now mode.
Well, that was you, actually.
They could easily have a top five pick next year. So
who, the Texans?
Yeah, I think most are expecting them to. So, well, let's go out there and wing it around and have some fun.
Well,
see what you got.
I believe that pick belongs to the Arizona Cardinals. How about the Cardinals? Could have the have
they
two in
have
the top five.
Two. Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison.
Oh.
Man. Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison, CJ Stroud, or Willie Anderson. Which one do you choose?
I mean, give me some offense.
I think so.
Yeah. And then Lincoln Riley is your new Cardinals coach.
And- Dude. They're gonna Steve Wilks, Jonathan Gannon, is what you're saying?
Who cares?
And then they're gonna Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray.
What
you're saying?
When you can get those three guys.
Imagine that's how like business really works. Who cares?
Well, that's what happened. What do you mean?
He talks like most fans, man, and you know that. That coach should be fired to get that guy out of there.
Wherever Caleb Williams goes, Lincoln Riley will follow.
Unless he wants to just sit here in Southern California and coach Big Ten football and make it as much money as a professional coach with no threat of being fired.
Without Caleb Williams.
Hour two coming up.
For over three decades, nobody has had a wrestling career like Arn Anderson. Conrad Thompson gets all the stories with Arn.
After watching AEW's Double or Nothing, Amy wants to know, what does dinosaur taste like?
It ain't chicken. It's like biting into a sinewy charcoal briquette.
Ah.
But chewy.
Oh, like, wow, that's disgusting.
Yes, sure is.
Check out Arn every week, wherever you listen.